We have with us novelist, screenwriter, and producer of feature films. What a slacker this guy is. Welcome to Preferred Company, Burt Wiseboard. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
We are so happy to have you today. This is so exciting. I get so excited when we have the opportunity to speak with writers in particular, because what goes on in that brain, right? Not only have you worked in movies and films and produced, done some financial stuff, but you're really here today to talk about your book, Rough Justice. Tell us all about that.
Well, Rough Justice is really the sequel to the book before it, Danger in Plain Sight. And I was so captivated by the central characters and their very unconventional group of friends that I wanted to write another story about them. And I ended up going back to the first thing I'd ever written to create villains and a young woman, a 25 half Algerian woman who comes from France to have a job. She has a visa in Seattle, and she's taken on a boat, and when she goes to her new place to live, they try to kill her. And she doesn't know anybody in Seattle, and the only person she has is the name of a man who wrote to her mother, who's many years dead, and her mother gave this letter to her right before she died. And in any event, this letter is from Cash, the person in danger in plain sight. And so she goes to Callie's restaurant, and Cash and Callie are now happily together, and she tells her story about how she stole her identity and they tried to kill her. And that's where we start. And this book is really about families as well as being a thriller. And it's about how this unconventional group of people accept this woman who they've never met and both help her save her life, but also in the course of this book, she comes into a very more self-aware, adult kind of wonderful woman. And I think you'll like it. I mean, I think it's an interesting character and an interesting relationship with her dad. And the whole story sort of took on a life of its own that I didn't expect.
What's so interesting about, and I said about writers for me, is really the process. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You know, we get your bio ahead of time. You graduated cum laude from Yale University with honors in psychology. Do you think that having that background gets your mind going in different directions? Directions to write a thriller, because there's all kinds of genres of books to write, and yet you pick these thrillers. Like, how does that happen? Do you just wake up one day and these characters come to life in your mind, and then you put them on paper?
Well, that's a good question, and there's one piece that you've left out, which is when I first went to be in the movie business. In those days, you could finance a high-budget screenplay for $9,600. And that was my way into the film business. I went to the best writers I knew, and I made these crazy deals where I'd let them co-produce, I'd guarantee that they wouldn't be rewritten, et cetera, et cetera. And I work with wonderful writers, and we don't have enough time for me to go over all of that, except to say that that's where I became interested in all the psychological stuff that I learned about. What happens when you work on a screenplay, you know, on a screenplay, you can't do interior monologue. You have to develop character out of action. And this really started to interest me. And, of course, thriller is a very good form to have people be in danger and have to do things that causes them to change. And then over time, I realized what I was writing about was character-driven thrillers. I was watching these people change, and that's the thing that interested me the most. And the answer to your question is I don't think about it a lot ahead of time. I just think about the person, and then I let them take the lead, or him take the lead, and see where it goes.
As these characters evolve, so this is the second book. This is a two-part question. One, are you planning book number three, a trilogy? And if these books were to be made into films, do you have actors and actresses in your mind that you see to play these characters?
So this is my second trilogy. The first one was called Corey Logan. And we tried to make that as a long-form television thing, and it never quite worked out. But we're going to try the same with the Kelly and Cash thrillers, and that will happen soon. We're going to start, and I'm starting writing the third in this trilogy. And the answer to your question is all the people that I imagine playing these parts, they're too old now, like me. You know, the characters and their characters that I knew or worked with, and that was a long time ago. So I really have to start again with a lot younger people.
I love it. I think that's really funny. Well, but that's the thing, and that's what's so interesting to me. On a daily basis, you know, they talk about people who write, and it's interesting. So when you write a screenplay, you're obviously writing all the dialogue, like you say. When you write your novels, you can give us those inner thoughts of those characters. Are they compilations of people that you've met over the years?
Not really. They're, you know, people that I've met affect some of these people. You know, the first book in the series, Callie James, runs a restaurant, and I'm very interested in restaurants, and I spent a lot of time going to restaurants in Seattle and elsewhere, and I was very interested in people who are very poised and able and socially adept and great hostesses in this case in the restaurant, but don't really function very well outside of it. And that's the beginnings of the character for Callie James. But it was not based on a particular people, but rather on many people who I'd seen function so well in good restaurants.
And then we move forward. We have a bartender who's involved in this. The whole idea of this I find extremely interesting. I just want to back in time just a little bit. You worked with, on some of the films that you were involved with, Fred Astaire, Melvin Douglas, Douglas Fairbanks Jr. I mean, we're talking about iconic names. As you said, they've all passed. I don't know that there's anybody in today's world who even comes close to those figures. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, somebody came to me not long ago and they wanted to remake Ghost Story, and I couldn't think of who would play those parts. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that don't even know, but there was something about those people in that movie that was magical. I mean, they just were such from another era. I remember dinners with all of them, and they would tell stories, and even the whole tradition of sort of the raconteur at, you know, social events is completely different than what we do today.
Have you ever thought about a nonfiction, telling your story? I mean, it sounds to me, just reading your bio, which I said is, you know, we just get a short little blurb ahead of time, but you are such an interesting human with so many sides. You're right brain, left brain, you're using all of your brain. Most of us don't do that. And you've met such wonderful, interesting people. I think maybe you should think about writing that.
Well, you're very nice to say that. I haven't really thought about that. I do think I did speak yesterday, in fact, to the head of production at United Artists in the time when I was in Hollywood. And we talked about how those days were over when we were working. And it would be nice to be able to tell people what it was like in the 80s, for example, 70s and 80s, which is kind of a glorious period in filmmaking. Great movies were made during that time. And it's very different than it is today. But no, I haven't thought about it, but maybe one day I will.
Well, also, too, don't forget, you could easily write a character about a radio talk show host, you know, like, you know, the adventures of.
There you go.
So before we close out today, I would love for you to tell our listeners, again, the name of the book, where they can get it, and anything else you'd like to add.
Go to my website, which is Burt Weisbord. That's BURTWEISBORD.com. The new book is Rough Justice, but there are six books on the website, and they've all been written and are available. And people can also read about me and read a lot of things that I've written on the website, particularly about writing character-driven thrillers.
Well, we are just so thrilled that you were able to spend some time with us today, Burt. We really appreciate you sharing, and we can't wait to see what Callie is up to. Callie and Cash, thank you again, my friend, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed this. Thank you.